Hey, you're watching Rebel Base, IGN's weekly Star Wars show.
So we've got absolutely loads to get through this. We've got some funny quotes from George Lucas coming up, which we really, really liked. We're going to discuss at length the brand new Star Wars comics that came out last week. But first, the Star Wars half marathon.
We're talking exercise.
Yeah.
Something we're big fans of.
Like, I mean, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
This guy... So this, we're talking about this for 30 minutes.
So the Star Wars Half Marathon is a thing that's done by Run Disney, which I didn't even know existed until last weekend. Yeah, but it's massive. So this was the inaugural Star Wars one. I guess it's just a thing to encourage people to get fit. And you run around the resort in Florida. A lot of people were doing it in cosplay. There's some really, really good ones around. The medals, which we found, are just amazing as well. So there's like a 5K, a 10K, there's a kids one and a half marathon.
Yeah, so Disney do regular Disney runs.
Yeah.
They also, I think last year, did kind of Marvel themed one. I think they're doing another Avengers one later in the year. But like you said, this is the first time they've done the Star Wars one.
And this
is Disney doing something cool with Star Wars.
So these are the guys that won. So the Nick Arkinyanga won the men's and Jennifer Berry won the ladies half marathon. Look at the people greeting them, like Minnie dressed up as Leia and Mickey dressed up as a Jedi there to greet you as you come in. Like, that's amazing.
So the question is, if you were to do the Star Wars half marathon,
who
would you cosplay as and why?
My little graphic is one of the Ewoks, because I'd probably look most like an Ewok. So that'd be quite good, because if you went as an Ewok, people aren't going to expect you to win. And obviously, if I run it, I'm going to win. So people aren't going to expect me to
through people's legs.
Exactly, people aren't going to expect me to win. But I think BB-8 would be amazing, like the brand new droid. That'd be really funny to go as. And I think some people did cosplay as it this weekend.
BB-8?
Yeah.
Get out at the end, just like sick everywhere.
I think it was more
absorbing. Oh, okay. I've gone too elaborate. I've gone in high there. I definitely wouldn't do it as Chewbacca. I think this guy deserves all the medals, because that's insane running that.
Yeah, I don't think I would go as.
In like, Florida. Even though it's winter.
That's not a clever one to go. So who would you go as? Who?
Boba Fett. Got a little rocket.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, like aerodynamic, Slave Leia. If you dressed up as Slave Leia.
Nobody wants that.
It's hot. We're not used to the Florida climate.
You can't run in metal. It chafes.
Yeah, but you could have it like redone. So it'd be like spandex. Spandex Slave Leia, that's what you're running as.
I'm not wearing spandex again.
We can sign up from June for next year, and I reckon we definitely should. Well, I've signed up for the emails to do it, so...
I've signed up for the emails for loads of stuff meant to better myself.
Never end up doing it. So next year, I'll be BB-8, you'll be Spandex Slave Leia running the marathon.
Okay, so that's who we dress up if we took part in the Star Wars Half Marathon. Who would you dress up? Who would you cosplay while running around Disney? Well, let us know at any time, rebelbaseign.com. Right, next up, we've got some quotes from George Lucas, the man himself. He's been giving it all out on the internet.
What is he doing?
He's promoting another movie he's produced.
Not a Star Wars film.
No, Strange Magic, an animated movie.
Good for
which
him.
Has the strap line, everyone deserves to be loved.
Like, we're not George Lucas haters, but...
We're going to get onto that now.
It does feel like a little bit like, don't want you to be Star Wars, got this... Strange magic film going on anyway. I've got time for Force Awakens.
So we've got two quotes that are really good.
Yeah.
The second one, I think you're going to have to read it out because it makes me laugh too much.
Okay, yeah.
So the first one, he was interviewed with Cinema Blend.
Okay.
And he was asked, is there anything that he planned or wanted to do with Episode 7 that has made its way into The Force Awakens?
Right.
He says he developed some ideas and he sold some to Disney, but this is quote, the ones that I sold to Disney, they came up to the decision that they didn't really want to do those, so they made up their own. So it's not the ones that I originally wrote.
So he had some ideas before they sold it, and then they bought it and go, yeah, we'll buy Star Wars off you. Oh, do you want these ideas as well? You keep all of them. Whack them in Strange Magic.
How much do you want for Lucasfilm? Oh, well, we've got some Episode 7 ideas. George, this is a half-written Word doc.
I'll share with you. Yeah, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
So, yeah, we knew this already. We knew that George Lucas didn't really have any input into the direction of Episode 7. This is going to go to a point that I think I've made in the first episode of Rebel Base, where I talked about how, it's very easy to slag off George Lucas. And I think some people get lured into that.
Definitely,
that's not what this show is about. This show is about celebrating Star Wars, because we love Star Wars. And without George Lucas, there would be no Star Wars.
Exactly,
the face of 20th century and 21st century popular culture would be entirely different without Star Wars.
That's an episode in that we itself. Should do, like, what would happen if Star Wars didn't exist.
Well, it's true, though, because I remember saying this to an ex-girlfriend of mine, and...
And she disagreed with you, that's why she's the ex.
Yeah, we're not going to go into that, but if you think about it, you don't go through any day without encountering some kind of Star Wars reference. Like, if you kind of attune to it, it's everywhere.
Yeah, but do you think that's because we work for IGN?
Do you think that's because we do a weekly Star Wars show?
Yeah.
Oh, this again. But yeah.
I don't think people who work in like a paper merchant will be going on about Star Wars as much as we do.
No, sure. We're getting on with this. So we talk about, it's very easy to slag off George Lucas. Yes. And without him, you know, none of this would exist. But what I think is, you know, he didn't direct Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. He didn't direct Jedi. And then he came back to direct the prequel trilogy. I think... You know, he kind of, I don't think he quite understood what made Star Wars magic. It's really hard to repeat the winning formula of those original movies.
Okay,
and he found it hard to do in those prequels.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of ties in
to the next one. Yeah, so he's also speaking to Screen Rant, and he said that he's looking forward to seeing the films as a fan for the first time. So it's the first time he's not going to be seeing anything before he sits down in a cinema like regular Joe Show, like us. And the quote is amazing. I haven't seen anything. I mean, I saw the trailer. It looks great. It looks interesting. But as I've said before, one thing I regret about Star Wars is I never got to see it, you know? I never got to be blown away by the big ship coming over the thing or anything. But this time I'm going to be because I have no idea what they're doing. I never got to be blown away by the big ship coming over the thing.
Or anything. It is a good bit, in all honesty, when the big ship comes over the thing. I think that really ranks highly in all the great Star Wars moments.
That's like Star Wars described by my gran.
So we should say the thing is Tantive IV, also known as the Rebel Blockade Runner.
Yeah.
Look at me, smart arse. No, but
it's funny.
It's a funny quote, and I think that just shows how detached he is from it all now.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know, when he was a young filmmaker out at USC, he made some interesting films, THX, 113A, American Graffiti. And then to have this thing so early on in your career, that basically, that's the thing you're always going to be known for.
Yeah, but it's not a bad thing to be known for,
no,
Star Wars.
No, I know it's not,
it?
But like, I don't know, if there's a list of stuff you wanted to do, you're not having any of that, are
you? No, because if you think of someone like Daniel Radcliffe, like the career that he's already gone on to have after Harry Potter, like I think that's pretty good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's doing all right. If Daniel Radcliffe can do it, George Lucas can do it.
We're making too much out of this quote, do you think?
Yes, we definitely are.
He's just
are,
an old man who made the film a long time ago. He didn't know what it's called.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, we should move on.
So last week, these bad boys hit the shelves. Star Wars issue 1. So Marvel have obviously got the rights back to the Star Wars comic, which they had like
way
originally.
Back in the day, yeah. I think Stan Lee first like turned Lucasfilm down when they approached him, saying, do you want to do comic on Star Wars? Star Wars wasn't even yet out.
Yeah.
I think they approached him in like 75, 76.
Yeah.
And he went, no. And then they came to an agreement. Stan Lee turning down Star Wars. And then they came to an agreement, and Lucasfilm wouldn't get any money until they surpassed 100,000 copies.
Okay.
And they thought that was quite a sweet deal. But obviously after the film, they easily surpassed 100,000 comics. And Marvel actually making a lot, like not making a lot of profit when they went over 100,000. And then obviously they went to Dark Horse, and now, because of probably the big Disney acquisition, back with Marvel.
They are back. So this is the first thing that's come out. So there's going to be three different series. There's going to be Star Wars. I don't know how they came up with the name for that. There's Vader, which is written by Kieran Gillen.
Yep.
And there's going to be a Leia one as well.
Written by Mark Waid.
Yeah.
And the Leia one's going to be a mini-series.
Right, okay.
And then I think there's another series out in April, which I think, again, is mini-series, perhaps, and it's based on Rebels, Kanan from Rebels.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so we've only read issue 1 at the moment. There's some amazing variant covers as well.
Yeah. I actually bought the Alex Ross one.
It's really, really nice. So. But what were your first impressions? So we reviewed it. We gave it an 8.5 on the site, and it was the very first video review
of a comic.
Of a comic,
So I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to reading more.
Yeah.
It's going to sound such a painfully obvious thing to say, but it's very Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like they really cement on that. Like the way that it opens, it's got the crawl. It's got they try to reproduce.
I actually got the crawl. Yeah.
Yeah. They try to reproduce the experience of, you know, sitting down to watch a Star Wars movie. And it's got the big Star Wars, flash it up, you know, and it kind of introduces everyone. It gets everyone in there. It gets them saying lines. You get a bit of lightsaber action. I think it kind of ticks all the boxes for an issue one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, I have to say, like, I read it on the tube. And, yeah, just to actually turn the page on a long time ago in a galaxy far away and then Star Wars. Like, that's, I know, it feels a bit odd to me because...
Yeah, it's weird seeing it. It's almost like looking at a movie storyboard.
Yeah. Like, to me, like, it feels like, it feels very filmic as well. Like, I know you said it feels really Star Wars, but the plot then seems like, you know, them sneaking aboard, like, pretending to be people that they aren't. It feels really, really filmic. And, like, I didn't have a problem with that. But there are some references in there, and I just felt they were a tiny, tiny bit on the nose.
They're like, heavy-handed.
Really heavy-handed. And I think, like, this is the kind of thing we've talked about in other episodes of Rebel Base, definitely, where, you know, we want it to be, we want it to reference Star Wars, but in a sort of playful way that isn't just like, hey, you know, like, there's a line which Luke says, these are not the slaves you're looking for. It doesn't work, and he goes, ooh, worth a try. For me, that almost seems like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back-esque. Like, he's sort of like winking at the camera sort of thing.
I think that line falls a bit flat, because if you think about the logic of the films, Luke won't attach particular significance to that line being cool, because it's something Ben just said a long time ago.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, as an audience, it kind of breaks the fourth wall a bit too much for me.
That's, I think that's why I had a problem with it. Like, I properly cringed when I read it.
And also, I think it brings up a more interesting point about whether something... when it's in like a core series, should homage and allude to itself. Because, you know, this isn't something else trying to be Star Wars. It is Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
So it shouldn't, I don't think it should feel under the pressure to kind of refer back to itself. It
definitely not.
Because it can, if it wants to, push the story in new directions.
Yeah, completely.
And contribute new lines to the universe. I think like homaging is something you do when you like reach outside of yourself.
The thing that's in my head is Tom Felton's lines in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, because he's got the original Planet of the Apes lines. And it really is horrible to hear those. Like, it makes me cringe when I watch them in those films, and I think, you don't need it. You really, really don't need it for the reason you said, which is a really, really good point.
Yeah, there's no reason for that character to have any awareness of that line.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's really strange.
So I really hope that, you know, they sort of lighten up a little bit. Yeah. But it's the first issue.
And I think they just want to, like, press those buttons. That's what you want to do in issue one. You want to, like, appease everyone.
Yeah.
You want to keep people happy. You want to get those, like, little kind of references or whatever. You go, oh, this feels like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that's a really easy way to do it, especially in a short form medium, like a comic book. But what I'm really interested in is more how the comics interplay. Because, you know, for a while, I think it will operate its own thing, and eventually you might get those kind of bits of cross-pollination.
Yeah.
I'm really interested about the Leia spin-off series, but also Kieran Gillen's Vader, which comes out next month, because that's set the same period time period as this comic.
Yeah.
And I guess they're going to intertwine and intersect. But also, just... villains are fun.
We've got quite a cool thing coming up as well with Kieran Gillen. So we're going to get him in for an entire IGN UK podcast. But one of the cool things is, obviously, he's going to come in and talk about games. He's a huge gamer and, you know, very recently started writing comics.
Yeah, a lot of Marvel
like
stuff.
Really cool. And he's almost like becoming Marvel's go-to guy now for all this cool stuff. And I read somewhere that, you know, he initially said no to Vader and they sort of really sort of pursued him. And then got him on board. So we'll be talking to him about all kinds of stuff. We'll have him for a good few hours. But we want you guys to send in some questions for him.
Yeah, lots of questions.
Yeah, so if you have any questions for Kieran Gillen, who has written Vader and written some amazing stuff, if you haven't read Wicked and Divine, it's a really, really cool comic. You should go definitely read that. So if you haven't got any questions for Kieran, then shoot me over to rebelbase@ign.com.
Oh, so that's it for another week. Another episode over. Until next week, for everything on Star Wars, stay right here on IGN.